There are some passages in the Bible that are designed to comfort the afflicted. And a lot of others that we don't read as often as perhaps we might, that are more or less designed to afflict the comfortable. That's kind of where we're going this morning. I want to read this parable from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Jesus said, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" Kind of a scary story. And there will come a night or a day when all of our souls are required. And while the odds are not high, they are not zero, that today might be the day. It's a text that's not designed to talk about the problems associated with having a good crop or a shortage of space to store plentiful goods. Nothing wrong with that. If there was something wrong with that, we wouldn't have them. It's a story that's designed rather to jar us out of a sense of complacency. It's to remind us what we already know if we think about it, but don't think about very often, that time is short. Now, from time to time, that reality is put in our faces. Someone of public note like Tim Russert or George Carlin suddenly dies. And we go, wow, that was their night. What's for dinner, essentially? But it's been a couple, 3 years of those same messages to people we know, to people we love, to people in this room. Jack Alexander was not well, but not deathly ill, until suddenly one night. I lost two dear friends, colleagues whose offices, one on the left and one on the right of mine, over the last couple of years, to cancer that took them quickly. Larry Mills. You never know. Time is short. How do we live with that? Well, if it were not so, what meaning would there be to life? I saw a trailer to a movie a month or so ago that asked what I thought was a very provocative question. If you could live forever, what would you live for? We don't live forever. Even a full life of 90 years, let's say, is really only a small fraction of the time that has been time. How do we live with short time? Well, I think there are a couple of ways of looking at what brings meaning to our moments. For moments are really all we have. Martin Luther was asked at one point in his life, what would you do if you knew the world would end tomorrow? And he said, well, I would plant a tree. There is meaning in life, and adding to life has nothing to do with how long life might be. So in that spirit, I would offer some suggestions, strategies, metaphors, things to think about for how to live with short time. Martin Luther would plant a tree. I would plant tulips. I would put tulip bulbs in the ground. Our condo complex has an alley behind it, and a couple months ago, I drove to put the car in the garage and caught a glimpse of yellow that I hadn't seen the day before, mostly because I hadn't noticed it. But the daffodils had opened. And daffodils and tulips are interesting flowers. There really isn't much to them in the sense that they don't live very long, a week or two. And yet they come up every year. You don't have to mess with them once you put them in the ground. I don't know who put the daffodil bulbs in the ground along our alley. I don't know how many years ago. But it was pretty nice to see them as a harbinger of spring, as an image of hope. And they were soon gone. But they'll be back next year. And whether I will or not, someone will be there to enjoy them. So to honor short time, I would plant daffodils or tulips, or maybe when I take my peach run down to Fredericksburg, throw a handful of bluebonnet seeds out the window. And those that come after me will enjoy the simple beauty of what we have been given to share. For a short time, I would plant something pretty. You know what else I think would be useful for a short time? Leave a story. Leave a story of some sort. We are anticipating the safe arrival of Lily on September 1st. We know she's a girl. We know when she's about to arrive. This will be Lindy's first. We've even seen her picture. What a world we live in. And we presume she'll arrive safely, although again, while the odds are not high, they're not zero, so we are taking nothing for granted. One of the things that will happen to Lily in her first week of life is that she will become a part of a very long story in our family. In Lily's house right now is a completely refinished and refurbished cradle. A cradle that's been in the family since, well, it was built by a man in our family who died in 1891. That much we know. No one that's now alive has ever met him. But we have the cradle, and we have his picture. And we know the cradle was built probably shortly after the Civil War ended. And every baby in that family has spent some time in that cradle, and it now waits Lily's arrival. And she will never know Joshua Clark, but someday someone will tell her the story. And she will grow, presumably. Maybe she will have children of her own who will take their place in this cradle. If Lily someday has a child, that child, if I'm lucky, will get to know me only as a very old man. I've done the arithmetic on this. If Lily's child has a child, all that will be for me in that person's life will be a story. I don't know what the story will include. Probably something lame about baseball or some stupid joke. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it will not include anything I've published in an academic journal, and that's fine with me. But we are about the living of stories. I have a picture of me as a very small child, an infant essentially, being held by the man who was my great-grandfather, who I have no memory of. But I do know that he was the man who walked my mother down the aisle at their wedding to give her away, if you will. And I know that a few days before that happened, he was, at the time, about 80 years old. He'd fallen out of an apple tree and broken a rib, so he was uncomfortable. But let me say that again. 80 years old, fell out of an apple tree. There's a guy that I wish I'd known better, but I know enough about to say, well, maybe there's a little bit of his story that I carry, and that's good news for me. Leave a story. You will leave a story. The question is, what will it be, and what will they tell? Something interesting, something intriguing. I know nothing else of Joshua Clark for all of the mystery and magic or otherwise of what his life was. He's left us a cradle. And Lily will be a part of that, and she will never know the history other than that she's a part of it. Plant something pretty, leave a story, teach something to a child. I've already taught our 5-year-old Logan this cool magic trick. Isn't that cool? I tried teaching him something new this last week. I went up, I went, shake. And he didn't get it. He didn't get the pun. But there will come a day, you know. We've taught him to hit a baseball. We've taught his sister the wonder of soap bubbles. They've been taught good manners. They've been taught respect for each other, for their family, for the earth. Teach a child something. And that will become part of what that child's story is with you in it. The whole point of children's time is not by any stretch to hope that they get the point of the puzzle bit today or any other bit that we put into this worship experience. The point is that they will know they are welcome here and that they belong. That there's something in this experience that includes everybody. On our best day, that's the only message that any church should send to its people. You belong here. Doesn't matter what your week's been like. People tell me, well, I don't want to come to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Well, duh. And can you think of a better place for hypocrites to be than right here? We belong here. There's a little something for us every week, and that something for us is relentless forgiveness, unending grace, and maybe a greater sense of peace and hope at the end of the day, even though we know time is short. Plant something pretty, leave a story, teach something to a child. I know that I have lived more years than I will, and that's true for most of us in this room. I know that since last Saturday, which was the longest day of the year, and a wonderful day if you were going to pick one to have your wedding, because every wedding anniversary then, June 21st, is the longest day of the year. You get more daylight that day than any other day. But since last Saturday, the time between sunrise and sunset for this day is about 15 minutes less. We lose a minute or two of light every day between June 21st and December 21st. So time is getting shorter. And this period of time is kind of a metaphor for the text that scares us. Will this be the night? Don't know. Probably not. But again, the odds are not high, but not zero. And at the very least, we have two less minutes of daylight to be who we were created and called to be. And at the end of this day, as the end of our day will be, our only job, our only calling, is in some sort of way to just try to leave it better than we found it. Through planting, through teaching, through laughing, through praying, through in some way engaging the unaccountable value of this moment, for it is all we have, and it's enough. Amen.